Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com. Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santikos studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Across America, the opioid crisis has robbed families of their loved ones, devastated communities, and jeopardized the safety of our nation's children and first responders. In 2021, more than 100,000 people lost their lives to drug overdoses. 67% of those deaths involved synthetic opioids, with fentanyl being the primary driver of the staggering surge in overdoses across America and here in Texas. But a vaccine could be an answer and a response to the threat of fentanyl. We're joined by Dr. Colin Hale. He's a research professor of psychology, co-director of the Michael C. Gibson Research Program, director of operations of the Animal Behavior Core Facility at the University of Houston, and lead author of a recently published study on the efficacy of an anti-fentanyl vaccine. And Dr. Hale, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Wow, this is a breakthrough, isn't it?
We think so. It's a tool in addition to other medications used to treat opioid use disorder.
So when you were hearing about fentanyl, did a light bulb go off in your head and say, you know what, I can make a vaccine for that?
Well, our group has been making vaccines against substances associated with use disorders in humans for quite a while. We've generated a cocaine vaccine, a methamphetamine vaccine, and about 5-6 years ago, we decided to focus on fentanyl. At that time, the opioid crisis was gearing up, and it was an obvious focus.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can tweet at us at TPR-SOURCE, send an email to thesource@tpr.org. If you've got a question or a comment about the fentanyl vaccine. So, Dr. Hale, what is fentanyl and why is it so deadly?
Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid, and it is used in medicine quite a bit as an anesthetic and also for pain management. And when used correctly, it is a very good medication. When not used correctly, it can be highly reinforcing and also deadly. And one of the reasons, there are many reasons, but one of the primary reasons that it's become such a problem is that it is coming into the country in droves, and it has also been found in numerous other drugs like cocaine, methamphetamine, anti-anxiety medications, and so people are unknowingly consuming fentanyl and unfortunately dying.
So how does it kill? What is it about fentanyl that overwhelms the body and shuts it down?
The primary mechanism of action is that it is a very lipophilic drug, so it can get into the brain very quickly and trigger centers in the brain and the brainstem that control respiration. And so it shuts down those neurons, and thus the individual can't breathe. There's also other mechanisms involved with truncal, intercostal rigidity, where you can't move the diaphragm to breathe as well.
And that's all because of fentanyl getting into the brain and your vaccine. Is vaccine the right word to use in this instance?
That's a good question. And some have pointed out that nomenclature, so to speak, and that we're not treating a disease per se. Ordinary vaccines, as you know, they trigger the body to produce antibodies against a virus or a bacteria or some sort of pathogen. Our vaccine makes the body produce antibodies against a chemical, and that chemical is fentanyl. So in a vaccinated individual, if they consume fentanyl, those antibodies will bind to the fentanyl and prevent it from getting into the brain. And eventually, it is eliminated from the body.
So, and by keeping it from entering the brain, then we're able to head off all those fatal outcomes that you had talked about, like overwhelming the body, overwhelming the brain, shutting down the breathing mechanism. So it's a lifesaver.
Correct. And we also see it as a relapse prevention agent. Given with other medications in individuals that really want to quit. So they'll have usually go into a rehab facility, get detoxed, and then they would be put on a maintenance therapy. And then we envision the addition of getting this vaccine, because unfortunately, there is a high rate of relapse in this patient population, and it's a situation where is when they're going to relapse, it is they will relapse, and so also there's non-compliance issues with the medications. They just stop taking the medications, and then if a vaccinated individual takes fentanyl, as I mentioned, those antibodies will bind to fentanyl and prevent it from getting into the brain, prevent the euphoric effects of fentanyl, as well as the potential deadly effects.
Let's go to a caller. We have Doug on the line. Doug, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm a paramedic in the San Antonio region, have been for a long time. And for pre-hospital pain management, a long time ago, we used to rely upon morphine. And then fentanyl was introduced pre-hospital, and we really now mostly rely on that for trauma and even cardiac pain. One thing I've noticed is that fentanyl gets so much negative press that when I introduced the idea to a patient of taking or me administering fentanyl, they're really turned off by it because all they hear are bad stories about fentanyl. Secondly, if a vaccine is made available, does that mean that I will no longer be capable of using this now very effective pain management drug on this individual because they've taken the vaccine?
Doug, thank you for that great question. Appreciate that. So, Dr. Hale.
Yes. So these are very important questions, and I get them a lot. Our vaccine will prevent fentanyl from penetrating the brain. We also show in our recent publication that it will prevent a derivative of fentanyl, such as sufentanyl, and we believe that it will also prevent carfentanyl, alfentanyl, and other derivatives from penetrating the brain. Now, we also showed that the antibodies do not bind to morphine. They do not bind to methadone, buprenorphine, or oxycodone. There are other drugs available, maybe not as efficacious, but there are other options.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll take more of your questions about the fentanyl vaccine. Who should take it? How does it work? How is this going to protect people here in Texas? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can tweet at us at TPRSource. And we'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Fentanyl is a lab-manufactured drug used to treat pain that is 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. A lethal dose of fentanyl is just 2 milligrams, amount so minuscule that it can fit on the tip of a pencil. And now you may have heard the expression, one pill can kill. That's because whereas fentanyl sneaking into some drugs that kids are taking, recreational drugs or anti-anxiety drugs that they're buying on the street, and it is killing them. And now there's a search on how can we stop this? How can we stop the scourge of fentanyl coming into our families and being deadly many times? And you can call in. What do you think about a fentanyl vaccine? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're joined by Dr. Colin Hale, and he's the lead author of a published study about the anti-fentanyl vaccine. So right now, you have an animal model. You have mice that are showing that this works?
Yes, we've tested the vaccine in mice and rats, and show that in the rat study, the recently published study, that the vaccine can block nearly 100% of fentanyl's effects, analgesic effects, and also reverses and prevents overdose. You know, the effects on physiology, such as decrease in blood oxygen, bradycardia, or decrease in heart rate, respiration, and also activity. And so we feel confident based on these data that we'll get the same effects in humans.
So it renders it basically inert, right?
Correct. And again, if you prevent the drug from entering the brain, you prevent any of the euphoric effects or the deadly effects of fentanyl.
I have a text message from a listener asking, are there any side effects or withdrawal effects from taking the vaccine?
Very good question. Our vaccine is made up of a few components, and one of those components is already in two vaccines on the market and has been shown to be safe and effective. The other component has also been tested in multiple clinical trials in humans and even in infants, and has also been shown to be safe and effective. We feel that when it comes time to submit our application to the FDA, they will look at these data and see that it has already been in humans for the most part, and approve our application to start phase one clinical trials in humans.
All right, so I want to play a clip here, and this is from a guy named Jake, and he is addicted to fentanyl. He's being interviewed on a YouTube channel called Soft White Underbelly, and he talks about his addiction.
Yeah, I was actually, it's funny because I keep trying to quit. You know, it's not easy quitting fentanyl, but I kept messing up going on my methadone clinic, and I would like skip a few days and I'd have to restart the dose or whatever. And in 2 or 3 days, my dose should be back up to what it should be. And I'm going to try to quit again in like 2 to 3 days. And I really hope this time it works, because the dose should be at the right point. So, but yeah, I am still using fentanyl. I'm not using meth anymore. I quit that a long time ago. Fentanyl is just about the only drug I do, except for Xanax sometimes, because I have pretty bad anxiety.
Dr. Colin Hale, so how would someone like Jake, who is trying to kick fentanyl, get access to the vaccine once it's approved and available?
Jake is a prototypical example of a non-compliant patient, and this non-compliance with these medications is very common. And so our vaccine, these individuals, once they had detoxed in a facility, they would get put on a maintenance therapy, such as what Jake said with methadone, and then they would get our vaccine in that setting. And so when, for example, an individual becomes noncompliant with the medication, the vaccine has made antibodies, and you cannot get rid of those antibodies readily. So if they take the drug, they will not feel euphoric effects, and they will not feel or experience the deadly effects of fentanyl.
Is it a one shot and you're done, or do you have to get boosters or maintenance shots?
Good question. Our vaccine schedule is exactly like the hepatitis B vaccine, where you get an initial vaccination, and then you get a booster maybe a month later, and then a second booster maybe a couple of months after that.
So does a person have to agree that they're going to take this vaccine? Can law enforcement, I know you're not a lawyer and you're a scientist, and but maybe you've talked about this with others, is the vision that this is only for people who decide they want to take the vaccine? Can it be put on people who don't want it?
Yes, I have gotten this question before, and I'm not in favor of mandates. I'm in favor of a individual body autonomy, but sometimes they need help, and it would be with, for example, another case I was discussing with, it was a adolescent, and they were wanting to mandate the vaccine for high schoolers, and I don't think that's a good idea. I think it is a good idea for the parents and their general practitioner to be the ones to decide to get the vaccine or not.
And so we're hearing about, like, you know, teenagers who aren't intentionally taking fentanyl. It's being snuck into a pill that they think is like a recreational or anti-anxiety drug, something they might take, and then they die from it. You know, could this vaccine be offered as a way to protect young people? Parents can, and the teenagers can decide, should we do this? Yes, let's protect ourselves because this killed someone else in our community. Is that something that could happen?
I've received numerous emails from parents that are absolutely terrified about their kids because they know that they are experimenting with drugs and they want them protected. And based on the data we have now, we feel that this could be a prophylactic measure for individuals that want to protect themselves.
And there's no downside to taking the vaccine, you said, other than if you needed pharmaceutical fentanyl to use as a painkiller, that would no longer be available to you.
Correct. And there are other options. Fentanyl is used in anesthesia all over the United States and elsewhere. It's a very good drug. But I was contacted by a chair of anesthesiology at the medical school at Aberdeen, and this anesthesiologist has been doing anesthesia without any opioids for decades, which is a good it's good to know. It's good that there are alternatives for those that have had the vaccine.
What about for first responders? There are reports of multiple first responders who, while searching a vehicle or something, they may come in contact with just a few grains of fentanyl or carfentanil, which is far more potent. That's used, as you know, to for medication of like elephants and stuff. And they go into shock, or, you know, they overdose. And thankfully, they have Narcan available. But if they had taken this vaccine, then they would not have been put in danger. So could first responders be offered this?
Yes, they could. But I must make the point that fentanyl is not easily absorbed through the skin. You need a solvent to get it absorbed from the skin. What has happened here in Texas, and Governor Abbott mentioned these cases when he visited my lab here at U of H, was that the few police officers were searching a vehicle, as you mentioned, and they had gloves on, but they, in the middle of the search, they inadvertently wiped their forehead and their nose, and then that's what transferred the fentanyl. Two police officers ended up overdosing in that manner. But yes, our vaccine could prevent any inadvertent exposure to fentanyl.
So you mentioned earlier that you had developed vaccines for methamphetamine and cocaine. I haven't heard about those things being widely used. Are they?
The cocaine vaccine was pioneered by Dr. Thomas Costin. He is at Baylor College of Medicine, where I was for 10 years, and he was the first one to get the cocaine vaccine tested in humans. Unfortunately, the vaccine did not produce a robust enough amount of cocaine antibodies, and there was some other design of the experiment that wasn't optimal. But now we have new technology, and we are going to apply that technology that we've had success with the fentanyl vaccine to the cocaine and also to the methamphetamine vaccine as well.
So typically, there's a cat and mouse game. We've seen this in the chemistry of some drugs that have been outlawed, and then the drug manufacturers make adjustments. And is that something that they can do with this vaccine? Can they adjust their chemistry in a way to get around the vaccine?
That's a very good question, and I've gotten it before. I'm not a chemist. We collaborate with Dr. Cuny, who's also here at U of H, and the way in which we have built the vaccine, we take a piece of fentanyl, or the backbone of fentanyl, that has no biological activity in and of itself. However, in combination with other components of our vaccine, we are able to induce an immune response and make the body produce antibodies. Now, that backbone is common to pretty much all fentanyl derivatives. As long as that backbone is present, the antibodies will bind to the drugs.
So I can imagine if a person who's dealing with something like an opioid misuse disorder and they say, I want to get the fentanyl vaccine, and they get that and it no longer works for them. But if they're not part of a comprehensive treatment program, then they probably will switch to some other drug, maybe, you know, actual heroin or morphine or something like that, that does not apply to the vaccine. And they will just keep using unless they get the full treatment. Is that what you see?
That's true. However, as I mentioned before, this vaccine is for people that want to quit. It is not for individuals that do not want to quit. And it should be included in, as you mentioned, a comprehensive program that includes maintenance therapy and also psychotherapy, such as cognitive behavioral therapy, and other support mechanisms in place to give that individual the best chance possible of staying sober.
And so, and the vaccine does not protect individuals from actual heroin, right?
No, that's another opioid that is that the vaccine does not recognize.
And so right now, I understand this is like 3 or 4 years away from possibly an approval for human use. So we have to wait a while, and fentanyl is still out there, and the numbers are just getting worse and worse. What do you think we should be doing while we wait?
Well, do take every measure possible to stay away from illicit drugs that you should automatically assume that they are tainted, and do not take them. Our vaccine, actually, we are manufacturing clinical grade vaccine right now, and we hope to start phase 1 clinical trials in about 12 months, and those people in those trials will benefit.
All right, Dr. Colin Hale, research professor, psychology, co-director of the Michael C. Gibson Research Program, director of operations of the Animal Behavior Core Facility at the University of Houston, lead author of a recently published study on the efficacy of anti-fentanyl vaccine. Best of luck to you. We sure do appreciate you coming on board and explaining what this fentanyl vaccine looks like and how it can help us. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about viral justice, how small actions can lead to big changes towards social justice. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.